Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Loving Father, as we come and open your word today, we say thank you for loving us, for calling us, for choosing us. And as your word goes in, may the power, Lord, develop in us so we can go out and be your witnesses. In Jesus' name, amen. A few weeks back, a man stood on a subway, and he started just wobbling and wobbling, and he began to get a little dizzy. And there he was, right almost at the edge of the platform, and before you knew it, he fell down on the train tracks. And people, stunned, they looked at each other, looked at the man, and kind of just stood there. And there on the screen you saw time for the next train. And the time was counting down. True story, Atlanta, Georgia. And a man decided that he was going to jump down, trying to avoid the live track. And he went down there, got a hold of the man, and another man saw him jump down there, and he jumped down as well. And together, avoiding that live track, they were able to bring the man to safety. It happened about a month or so ago. We live in a world where people will see individuals hurt, will see individuals going through stuff and not do anything. But we, the Church of the Living God, we have been commissioned. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1. And here we get the picture of Jesus with his disciples for the very last time. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4. And being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, that you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In verse 8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I often wondered, what if we were the disciples and Jesus came to us and we were here in Bakersfield? Where would he identify as the places that we will be witnesses for him? They were in Jerusalem, and he referred to Jerusalem. What if Jesus left from Bakersfield? Where would he have us to be his witnesses? In Jerusalem? In Judea? He would have us to be witnesses where? right here in Bakersfield, right here in Kern County, right here in the surrounding areas, wherever we go. And back in those days, they didn't travel that much. As a matter of fact, just to travel a few miles, 10 miles, 20 miles, it took them sometimes a whole day, sometimes several days, depending on how and where they were traveling through. Today, we can go 100 miles in just an hour and a half. Amen? And if you drive a sports car, you can even do that in probably in 1 hour. We travel fast. We travel not only in terms of physical distance, we also will travel in terms of communication. Now it doesn't take wires to communicate. You can talk on the cell phone. You can talk on through the internet, and you can talk to somebody clear across the other side of the world, and it doesn't even cost you anything, just the internet connection that you're using. So if we can travel all those distances and we can communicate all those distances, where do you think God intends for us to be his witnesses? He wants us to be his witnesses everywhere we go. Amen? He wants us to be the witnesses, and week after week, we go through those 7 days that God has blessed us to have. The question is, are we getting the power that he has promised? And secondly, are we using that power the way that he wants us to use it? He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So the power goes in, and then it goes out. It goes in through the power of the Holy Spirit. It goes out through what we witness and how we witness and to whom we witness to. Problem is, we want the power, but we don't want to witness. We want that power, but we don't want to share what God is doing in us. And so you have a church today. Sad to say, it is our church. We are the remnant church. We are the ones that says, you know, according to prophecy, after this church, there is no other. This is the last day church. But yet the power we want the Holy Spirit. We want Jesus, but we don't witness. When I say we, I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about the sprinkling of people that do witness. I'm not talking about the handful that know that what they are about. And God says that the only reason why I have the power, why I give the power, is so that you can share it with those who don't have it. And if you're one of those who just take the power in, but you don't give it out, then all you're doing is becoming a constipated Christian, a spiritually constipated Christian. You're taking all this power in, and you just get bigger and bigger and bigger because you're not exercising yourself spiritually and sharing your faith. Any person who meets us, and if Jesus Christ wants that person to hear from us a testimony of how we got saved, so that they will also have the opportunity to accept the Lord and Jesus as the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, would that be able to happen? And if we were to go just by how long we've been in the church, amen? What kind of church is God using today to do his work? Is it our church? As Dr. Olongo talked about the tree and the veins and the leaves and the veins and the branches and all of that, what is God doing through Southside? What is he doing through you? Amen? My prayer is that we will all receive that power that he has promised, that it will come inside of us and then go out. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew 28. Beginning with verse 18. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. It says there, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The word power there is the word for authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. If somebody has authority in all the heaven and all the earth, that person has control over that jurisdiction. They not only have the power, they have the authority. Amen? Meaning that that person can say anything to anyone in the heaven or on the earth, and those individuals will have to obey them. Amen? Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And he sends us out on a bold mission to share our faith. Amen? But we have got to be aware of those things that zaps the power that comes inside of us. A lot of times it's not because we're not willing to be the witnesses that God has called us to be. The problem is the power will go into us, come into us, but by the time we make it home, or by the time of the end the sun goes down, or by the time the sun comes up tomorrow morning, somehow that power has been diluted. That power has been snuffed out and another power has come in. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. If you can hear me in the mother's room, wave at me. All right. Can you hear me? Okay, you can hear me. Praise the Lord. They got sound in the mother's room. This, I didn't know they didn't have sound in the mother's room. And so we got to get the sound on. Amen? And the mothers tell me that they appreciate that when other people are in the mother's room, that they don't make phone calls while the service is going on. Amen? They don't carry on conversations while the service is going on. That when somebody's singing, when somebody's praying, when the word is being preached, that they can enjoy and be a part of it and tend to their little ones without people just having their little private conversation. So the mothers told me to tell you they appreciate that whenever you have a need to go into the mother's room, and unless you have a child, you really shouldn't. You know, there are two bathrooms in the foyer. They appreciate when they can enjoy the service without interruptions. Come on and say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. We're talking about how the power goes in, but somehow that power gets diluted. That power gets affected and infected because of maybe something going on around our lives that we somehow have gotten used to, and that power we get in every single Sabbath. I mean, how many of you enjoy the Sabbath? Come on and say amen. I mean, the Sabbath is a Sabbath. Does a Sabbath make a difference? If there was no Sabbath, would our lives be different? Oh, my life would be so different. So much happens to me on the Sabbath. Amen. I mean, it's a day where I have literally blocked out everything. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, when I slow down in terms of all the other things I do throughout the week and everything else, somehow the dust in my house that I didn't see all week, I'm able to notice it when? On the Sabbath. Amen? That window that was dirty all week, I just didn't notice it. I've been running so fast, in and out. Whew, I sit down to relax. There it is. And sometimes people get this notion, you know, try to do a little quick house cleaning on the Sabbath. You know what I'm saying? But the Sabbath, you know, I take time to block everything out so I can get as much in as possible. Because I know once that sun goes down tonight, amen, you know, I can only hold off the creditors for so long. You know what I'm saying? Amen. And praise God, you know, the sun is going down a whole lot earlier. That sale that I didn't want to catch that only operated on Sabbath, maybe I can catch that sale before 6 o'clock. Amen. So I try to get as much as I can in on the Sabbath from sundown Friday all the way through to sundown Saturday. Come on and say amen. I don't want that power that comes inside of me to somehow just be lost. And by the time you look at me, this time tomorrow is like I never ever experienced the Sabbath. Amen. You shall receive power. Is God telling the truth? He's talking about us. We shall receive power. Amen. Holy Ghost coming upon us. And as a result of that power inside of us, we shall be what? Not just witnesses, but his witnesses. That's what he says. Now, problem is, though, what is it that why we're not witnesses? Because, look, man, I can close my eyes and throw a ball up in this, and I won't hit anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because we've got too many empty seats. Where's the witness? My word, God says, shall not return unto me how? Void. So we got to identify the problem. What's the problem? Huh? What is the problem? It ain't the power. Amen? As long as that sun shines, we got physical power. If there's physical power, we sure enough got spiritual power. Amen? We got to remind ourselves who God is. He's not a small God. He's not a God just of this earth and the heaven that we see. Amen? He's the God beyond all that we see. That's the God says that I will give you power. Amen? And thank God he's able to transform that power so it doesn't overload us. Because if the Bible says that God's presence is a consuming fire, it's a power. We have serve a powerful God. Like I said yesterday at the funeral, that if we were to count the stars in our galaxy, every second count one star, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Do you know how long it would take just to count the stars in our galaxy that our God made, the same God that promised that he would give us power? Do you know how long it would take? 2,500 years. That's the God that says, I will give you power. God knows what you're up against. He knows your flesh. He knows what you are born with. He knows what you're faced with. He knows what your neighborhood is like. He knows what you got to listen to every time you go to school. He knows what kind of friends you have. He knows the temptations you have. He knows your weaknesses. But he says, I will give you power. That's the God. Now, if the God who made all of that, that it would take me 2,500 years just to count, says he's going to give me power, that I'm going to count, and I'm going to go to the bank, and I'm going to cash that text. I'm going to cash that promise. Amen. Everything he says in his word is true. And if I'm a part of a church that prophetically says that this is the church that is going around, the Bible experiences like the three mighty angels just encircling the globe, then I know I can do what God says I can do. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's the problem? Is it because I just disobedient? Because I just want to use what Holy Spirit I want to use, and whatever one I don't want to use, I'm just going to put aside. I don't know what it is, but I know that I have prepared my life. From the time I was 16 years old, I have prepared my life to say, Lord, if I have the opportunity to be able to work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, that I want to be able to work with the church, take your holy word, all the instructions and the training that you have given here, everything that you have, and work with that church to be a power ball for the Holy Ghost. And I've equipped myself in many, many ways, always looking for ways to improve myself so that I can be effective in whatever church God gives me. But what's the problem? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Maybe we need to be reminded who we are. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is not going to water down his word just to suit us. Amen. Oh, my goodness. I got a list from the treasury for this year. And there's only so many people that we can use to be leaders of this church, because not everybody is being honest in tithing and offerings. The God that gave them the blessing, the strength, God that allowed them to have that job for years, they come into this church, take a vow that I will support this church with my tithes and offerings, and they're not doing it. Not only that they're cheating the church, they're cheating God. Because God says it's not about the church, it's about me. It's my tithes, God said. It's my offerings. Why is it that we limit ourselves that way? What is the problem? If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, am I going to rob God? Come on now. If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and I took a vow to support and be a member of this church, I can't even be a member of the Kiwanis, what do you call that? The Kiwanis Club. If I don't show up at that club, what is it, 2 or 3 times, they drop me from membership. If I don't pay the dues, they drop me from membership. Praise God, he's not like those clubs. His mercy is everlasting. But I'm telling you, saints, he does still spit. He does still spew out of his mouth. Come on now. Especially if we profess ourselves to be Seventh-day Adventist. Amen. Hallelujah. So what's the problem? What is the problem? First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. My goodness, Paul must have experienced the same problems we're experiencing today. Because the very first word he says, what? What? Know you not that your what, everybody? Your what? Your body. That's your eyeballs, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hair, your skin that you lotion every day. Amen? Your fingernails. Everything. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Question is, do I believe that? I didn't ask you if it's true. You have no choice. You can't say whether this is true or whether it's false. It's the truth. God said it. Come on and say amen. Question is, do you believe it? I'm not saying if you look at it and says, I believe it's true. I'm not asking you that. I'm asking if you believe what it says about you, believing in a sense that is not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge, a heart experience. Believing meaning that my action is operating in my belief, in that what I'm believing is not just with my mouth, is not just what I accept as truth. I am actually acting it out. Do you believe it? Let me help you understand what this word believe means. There was a particular village that there was no written language that existed for that particular village. And some Christian missionaries went there, Seventh-day Adventists, as a matter of fact, they went there and they labored for a whole year, just talking and living and experiencing. They got sick and so forth and so on. I mean, long story, but they came down to where they were able to get a group of villagers where they learned their language, learned how to communicate to them, and they were able to get a group of them that accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, accepted the Sabbath, accepted what the teachings in the Bible. But the problem was, how in the world are they going to give them the Word of God? There is no written language for this particular village. And so they worked longer, and it took several years for them to develop a written language for their spoken language. Are you with me? And so they were able to do that. After several years, they were able to teach them the written language of their own spoken language, and they were able to do that, and so it was just a beautiful thing, and they were able to translate the whole Bible in this written language. But they had one problem. They could not find a word in this village language to translate the word belief. Couldn't find the word. I mean, it's like they asked, they talked, they were able to communicate pretty well now, and just couldn't find a word to translate belief. I'm asking you, do you believe this text? I'm helping you understand what this word believe means. And finally, after consulting with the chiefs and the wise men of the village, they were not able to find one word, but they were able to find a phrase. And the phrase that they were able to use, the best phrase, the closest one to that we will, you know, that will make sense even in our language, was the phrase, putting your whole weight on. Putting your whole weight on. Amen? All right. Now I want to get one of the biggest men in this congregation just kind of demonstrate something. And I want Brother Killebrew to come up here real quick. All right. I'm going to demonstrate something. I'm going to put my whole weight. I'm about 210. Okay. You're about what? About 260. 260. Okay. So you can take my weight. Okay. I'm going to put my whole weight now. I want you to
hold you up.
I want you to hold my whole weight, okay? All right? I'm going to stand straight, all right? And I'm just going to go back. All right? I'm putting my whole weight on Brother Killebrew. Amen? My whole weight. That's what the word in this language, thank you, believe means, putting your whole weight on the Lord. Not just part of your weight. Amen? Not where you're holding yourself up with something else. Your whole weight. Amen? Question is, do you put your whole weight behind this text? Huh? That your body is actually the temple or the sanctuary or the holy house of the Holy Spirit. Your body. Huh? Do you believe it? If you believe it, that means you are doing it. It's happening inside of you. There's absolutely nothing you will do with your body. There's absolutely nothing that you will have done to your body that won't be approved by the Holy Spirit. Even the things that you listen to. Come on and say amen. Hallelujah. Your temple, your body rather, is the temple or the sanctuary or the holy house of the Holy Spirit. Which is where, everybody? Where? Come on. It says, let's read it. You got it? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Do you believe that? I'm not asking you if it's true or if you accept it as truth. Are you putting your whole weight on that? Verse 20. For you are, what everybody? Bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. Amen? My Lord, my Lord. Do you believe it? Let's go to verse 15 real quick. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? It's talking about my, is it talking about my physical body or the body of Christ here? Who says the body of Christ? Raise your hand. Who said my physical body? Raise your hand. It's talking about my physical body. Amen? That my physical body, your physical body, our bodies are members of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? God forbid. God says absolutely not. Verse 16. Ooh, Paul had the same problem. What did he say? What's the first word of verse 16? Not what. What? Don't you know that he which is joined to a prostitute is one body? Meaning that is one with that prostitute? For two, says he, shall become what? One flesh. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18, flee fornication. Do what? Let's use a word that we use today. Run from fornication. Billy Mackey was one of the fastest persons on foot in Bakersfield in his age category. He run fast. He held a record for 25 years. It wasn't broken. Run from fornication. Every sin, what kind of sin? That a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Amen. Hallelujah. So my question is, what is the problem? Holy Ghost says, I'm giving you the power. But Lord, by the time I get, Lord, by the time the sun goes down, Lord, by the time the sun goes up, comes up tomorrow morning, Lord, by this time tomorrow, where is the power? Huh? My Lord, my Lord. I praise God. Amen? I praise God because he is able to accomplish that which he's able to accomplish. Come on and say amen. Amen? That's why we don't yoke ourselves up with unbelievers. Amen. That's why we don't even become bosom buddies with unbelievers. That's why we don't go into deep, long-lasting business transaction with unbelievers. Amen. I want the power that God puts inside of me. I want the power that God puts inside of you. That power to just get more powerful by the time you get home, by the time the sun goes down, by the time the sun comes up. Amen? By this time tomorrow, that power he puts inside of you and me ought to be more powerful. Amen? I ought not to be trying to figure out, you know, how much of the tithe am I going to put in. I'm not going to try and figure out, well, how much offering should I put in? I'm going to try to figure out, Lord, how much more beyond the tithes and my offerings am I going to give you? Amen? Hallelujah. Stop acting like you don't belong to God. Amen. You are bought with a price. Amen. Now let God be God and be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the only way we're going to become the rescuing station. We just can't look at it. We've got to become it. Amen? And I pray that every single one of you got one of these cards. And if you don't have one, get one from me at the door. I'm not going to take much longer by passing them out. But if we pray these things, these 30 plus things on this list, if we pray them and say, Lord, put these things in my heart. Lord, make me a vessel for you. It's over. I mean, it's... God is going to say, my goodness, I don't know how to keep up with those folk down in Bakersfield. Amen? Because we've got to become before we do. The reason why some of us have problems keeping the Sabbath, the reason why some of us have problems returning a faithful tithe and offerings, the reason why some of us have problems in supporting and being unified in a church that we took a vow that we will support, is because we're not becoming those things that God wants us to become. There's absolutely no way a member will pray these things into their lives and will be breaking the Sabbath, stealing God's tithe, and yoking themselves up with unbelievers. Absolutely no way. You've got to become before you do, and you got to do before you have. The reason why God can't bless some of us with more money, with a better job, is because he knows we'll take the money and buy a bigger flat screen TV. And we're going to spend $2,000 on that TV just to see 3D. I am who God says I am. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for making you some idiot God. So making you just some religious figure. Forgive us. Forgive us by the way we even relate to you. Forgive us by the way and how much time we spend praying to you. Forgive us, Lord, how we don't even read our Bibles like we're supposed to. We act and act like we're not even Holy Ghost filled children of God. Like Jesus never came, like he never died, like the Holy Spirit never came. Forgive us. Forgive us, Father God, for operating in a church like we're just lumps on a log. Forgive us. Forgive us. Lord, we don't need more hope. We don't need more faith. We just need to do and let be done what your word says. Maybe then the young people will take us seriously. They don't need better preachers. They don't even need a youth pastor. They need a church that is following the word of God. They need a church that's operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. God, make me that church. Make my brothers and sisters that church. Quit allowing us to fool around calling ourselves Seventh-day Adventists, and allow us to operate with the power that gets more powerful as we get closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because the very last generation, you tell us, Father God, will be the generation closest to God. We have the power because you got the Holy Ghost, and we will go out and be your witnesses in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Let the church say together, amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.